So this battle between Jesus and the leaders of the time is getting more intense and more intense. If we recall the parables that we've been having the last few weeks about those who accept the invitation and those who don't, those who are honest in their response and those who say what they need to get away, each week is getting more and more intense. Which leads us to the passage today. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus. They were so frustrated that they couldn't get over on him. Now they're trying to take him down. And then they came back, the Pharisees, with the Herodians. And if we don't know what those words mean and who those groups are, we can read over it like it's no big deal. Again, we don't really have in our real life example these groups of people. There's a war going on in the Middle East right now with two factions really hating each other. That's almost the same disliking between the Pharisees and the Herodians, and almost for the same reason. But they both hated Jesus so much they came together. Just to give us a glimpse of the impact Jesus had in the lives of the people, especially those people who were chosen to lead. And they were trying to trap him. And how do they do it? Through flattery. Sweet little words. Very much like the serpent did in the Garden of Eden. Like I said, the devil never sleeps. He just changes his tactics, but he's the same. We know that you're a truthful man, and you don't really care what anyone says about you. So let me ask you this question, because I know you're going to tell me the truth. Flattery, sweet little words, trying to trap him. Because if he says yes, you can pay the tax, then that means he's on the side of the occupying force. If he says no, you can't pay the tax, then he's opposing the occupying force. And it's just going to be more warring going on. They're trying to bait him into one of the sides of the battle. And so what does he do? How does he respond? I mean, we're all probably familiar with this story. He says, well, give me a coin. Let me see that coin that you're talking about. That was the trap for them. Because they're in the temple. They can't have foreign money in the temple. And as it goes on, we know that that coin that they have has an image on it, a graven image, which is against the Ten Commandments way back in the beginning of the Old Testament. So they just failed two tests. They've got foreign money and they've got a graven image. And so he's turning it back on them. Well, whose image is that? It's Caesar's. Caesar, who called himself a god. So they had an image of an idol, not just like we have the presidents or whatever on our money. Caesar thought he was God, and the inscription said the Son of God. So they're showing the Son of God and their graven image, what they're calling the Son of God. It really is a tense situation. And Jesus' easy response, since the image of Caesar is there, give it to him. Who cares? But give to God what belongs to God. And that's the punchline. That's the line that changes everything, or that should change everything, not just for the people in the gospel, but for each one of us today. Because when we hear that word, and Jesus using that word, image, it should bring us back to our early days of catechism, where we understand about creation and that the human person is created in the image and likeness of God. So that coin can be thrown away because that image means nothing. What about the coin of your heart? What about the image stamped on your heart? To whom or to what are you giving that? That's the most important question that we have to ask today. So maybe the first question is, do we remember? Do we know that we're created in the image of God? The fundamental identity as to who we are. In our world today and in our culture, there's so much confusion about identity. Asking questions that never need to be asked because the answer is already given. Our identity is in Christ because He created us. What we have in the first reading, my chosen one, I have called you by name, giving you a title. Then it says, though you knew me not. So even though he didn't know who he was, God still claimed him as his own. From St. Paul to the Thessalonians, brothers and sisters, loved by God, you are chosen. If we take the time to slowly, simply read the scriptures, our whole lives can change. We don't have to study theology. We don't have to study the scriptures and learn all these things. We can just simply let God love us through the words on the page. I've called you by name. You are mine. Beloved sons and daughters, you are chosen. This is your identity. This is your image. So do we know this? And do we act like we know it? Because that's the hard part of responding to this invitation to give to God what belongs to God. So maybe that's our next question. Are you giving to God what belongs to God? And if that coin belongs to Caesar because his image is on it, if God's image is on us, then to whom do we belong? And to whom should we be giving ourselves? So as we examine our conscience and prepare for confession when we need to whom and to what have I given myself? What parts of myself have I not yet given to God? Again, so simple, not necessarily easy, but it's simple. And the evil one, the enemy of our souls, tries to confuse us and make things so complicated. And then we get stuck in the rat race and we start chasing all these things and we start building our own empires. And for lots of us, it's hard to turn. It's hard to turn away from the lifestyle that we've built, because we have so many things contingent upon the choices we make every day. And it's why we need this constant reminder of that simple message of who you are. To whom do you belong? So our young people today have spent the whole day really meditating upon this message. And the leaders did a great job. I don't know if you picked this day for the retreat or not, but the readings are perfect for the theme that y'all picked of being chosen, set apart to be built up into the household of God. But this isn't just for eighth graders on a retreat. It's for all of us. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of that simple message that God loves you. I mean, what if we really lived in that truth? Think about what you did today. Was every choice you made, every word you said, every site that you scrolled through, was it because you know that you're loved by God? Or are you grasping for some kind of identity or purpose or mission? Jesus is in a battle with these men because they're clinging to their position and they don't want to give it up. How many of us are in that same position? resisting the urge, resisting the call to do something great for God today. As we continue in this Holy Mass, and as the Son of God himself becomes present on the holy altar, ask him for that grace to turn from all the lies, the nonsense, and the chaos, and simply rest in that truth that you are beloved, that you are known, you are chosen, you are called. Receive that truth, and then give to God what belongs to God.